following Jesus, we're learning over the last few weeks, as a follower of Jesus, there is always an instead. All throughout the New Testament, about 80 different times, is this word instead, where Paul, or whoever the author might be, usually is Paul, says something like, you used to do this, or some people do this, but because you're Jesus followers, now instead, or but, we conduct ourselves like this, or we say this. Amen, somebody? And so we must always look for the instead. We've been looking at various insteads and what it means to live life instead as followers of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about instead, we are citizens of the kingdom. Here we go. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Be following the YouVersion Bible app, it'll be on the screen. If you're watching online right now, join us on YouTube or Facebook. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the Red Life, man. We are so glad and honored to have you guys with us today. Say hey and hello in the comments there. Let us know you're there. If you've got a prayer request, you can drop that there. And you can connect at redlifechurch.com. That's not just for you guys watching online, but everybody in the room, man. If you have never filled out a guest card, never filled out the click on the new here tab at redlifechurch.com, I want to encourage you to do that before you leave today so that, man, we can just keep you informed of what's happening in the Red Life and you can get plugged in and start your journey there as well. Let's dig in. Here we go. Philippians 3, verse 19. Says they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. They think only about this life here on earth. But, or we could say instead, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Today, we are instead, or but, we are citizens of the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, you and I are citizens of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your anointing right now visiting us in this room. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is not some distant entity far away. But Lord, you are right here among us. You are right here with us, and you make yourself known. And I pray today, God, as we look at your word together, that you will once again make yourself known. Go beyond just a lesson. Go beyond just some ideas. Go beyond just some theology or some truth. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known to us today as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, we are not here, God, just to learn something. We are here to know someone, and that is you. And I pray today as we leave, as we go forward in this place and in this moment, and Lord, when we leave our time together this morning, God, whether it's in our living rooms or in this building, God, we will leave this moment having known you more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on my belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So apparently there was a big thing happened this week. I don't know if you heard, we had an election. You guys hear about that? I don't know if anybody knew about it or not. That we did have an election for the next president of the United States. And here's the reality. And probably in this room, if I had to guess, although I don't know, we're probably leaning one way more than the other for the majority. But the reality is around the country and probably in this room right now, about half of us are mad, half of us are sad, half of us are rejoicing. Let me just say this. If you are mad this morning or upset, let me just help you out real quick. We don't have anything to be upset about, man. I really don't think we do. And this is why. Listen to me. We are born in America. Amen, somebody? We are still American citizens. Come on, somebody. And however this all, I know there's going to be a process, and just like happened in 2016 and like what happened with, between Gore and Bush in what was that, 2000, there will probably, you know, it's not 100% a done deal, but it's looking like it's a done deal. And but here's the reality. You know, there are some countries today in this world that that when a new person wins, like entire armies and people are wiped out and killed off the face of the earth. And that's not going to happen in this nation. Amen, somebody? I said, that's not going to happen. Amen. Don't believe the fear. Don't believe the fear mongers in the news or the media. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen in this civilization. Thank God for it. Amen. Amen. So we don't have anything to be mad about. Maybe your guy lost. Maybe your guy won. And maybe your guy lost has got you upset. We don't have anything to be mad, because here's the reality. We have all, if we're sitting here in this place today, we have won the geography jackpot. Okay? And I think about that often. It's so weird, because we are all Americans simply because we happen to be born on the same hunk of earth. You know what I mean? You could just as easily statistically have been born on a different hunk of rock somewhere else on this planet, and you would be living in a completely different set of circumstances of no fault of your own. And I didn't do anything to earn or become an American citizen. Neither did you. We all just happened to hit the geography jackpot and happened to be born on this hunk of earth, and so we're all Americans. Amen? You follow me so far? So listen, I got news. If that we have hit the geography jackpot, we don't have anything to be mad about. Amen? And so often what we do is we invent things because we really, honestly, I have to tell myself this so many times, because I just be honest, and many of you guys might know this about me already, if you know me a little bit outside this pulpit, but I struggle with some anger issues once in a while. I struggle with some rage issues. I don't know where it comes from, but I got this ball of tension and anger and rage that I through prayer and fasting try to get control of, and sometimes it works out. A lot of times it doesn't work out. And I got to look at myself in the mirror and go, Bradley, you don't have anything to be angry about. You are an American man living on the greatest nation in the world, and you shouldn't be so upset. You know what I mean? Nobody else thinks that way. Everybody thinks that you look like, so we invent things to be mad about. For instance, I don't really have anything to be upset about in my life. I live in a beautiful home. I've got shoes on my feet. I can open up my closet and pick different shoes to wear every single day. I can open up my fridge and decide what I want to eat in that moment, in that day. And then 2 hours later, I can go back to the fridge or the pantry and get something else to eat. I've got it pretty good. And if you're anywhere in that situation, then you've got it better than 98% of the world. So we don't have anything to be mad about. So we invent things to be mad about. Because I got this anger I got to do something with. So I get upset at the guy who gets to this four-way stop 60 yards in front of me and sits there and waves me through. Have you ever seen that? And just to be honest, you have a right to be upset about that, because that is the most angering, frustrating thing in the world. And if you're a person that is always waving the other person, please stop. Please stop. You were there first. That's the way the four-way stop works. If we just decide we're going to just do it however wonky way we want to, then America might really be lost. In fact, that might be the crumbling of the civilization, is people not abide. Listen, if you obviously get to the four-way stop first, and I'm just telling you right now, if you sit there and try to wave me through, I'm going to dig my heels in, and I'm going to look at you with this angry look in my face, and I'm going to go like this, real big with all the sass and attitude that I can muster through my car window. I'm going to go like this. You think you're being nice. You're not. You're being so annoying. Stop. Just had to get that off my chest this morning. Invent other things to get mad about. I get upset about the fact that every time I go to my kitchen sink, I walk away with a giant wet spot on my belly button. Because there's always a puddle of water, and my fat gut touches it every time, and I walk away going, oh my God, my belly button exploded. No, and I get mad, you know what I mean? I get mad about when I'm eating a hot dog, and I forgot to shake up the mustard properly, and I squirt out that yellow, nasty mustard water. You might know what I'm saying. And so I get upset about that. But then I have to remember, Justin, this is such a small, stupid, silly thing to get mad about. I've already won in life. I've already hit the geography jackpot. Stop being so angry about things. Amen, somebody. Because I'm a citizen of this great nation, just like you. And just like we feel like we have hit the geography jackpot, and we should feel that way, as citizens of this nation, the people Paul was talking to most likely did not hit that geography jackpot, but citizenship was a huge, huge, huge advantage and big deal to the people that Paul is writing to. Paul is writing in the time of the Roman Empire and the Roman expansion, okay? So when you see movies like Gladiator and I can't think of any other movies right now about the Roman Empire, but that's the time frame in which the New Testament takes place and in which Jesus comes into the scene, okay? And so as being a Roman citizen in this time was honestly a lot like being born in America. It was the geography jackpot. Being a Roman citizen, in fact, afforded you, not only was it a status symbol, in fact, you'll see in one of the stories in the book of Acts, when Paul is about to be ripped apart, the Bible says, by an angry mob who didn't like his preaching, and the soldier or the governor in the region was trying to sort out what was going on. And Paul makes his, in fact, Paul gets beaten and whipped because they think this guy must have done something wrong. And then Paul looks at the guy who's beating him and says, "Hey, I am a Roman citizen. This can't happen to me. I make my appeal to Caesar." And the guy actually, if you read the story, I can't remember the exact chapter right now, but the magistrate who's in charge looks at Paul and he actually asks him a question. He says, "I had to pay a great heavy price for my citizenship. How did you get your citizenship, you poor, broke down, traveling preacher Jew? How did you get that?" So it was a big deal. Not only was it a status symbol, but as a Roman citizen, you were afforded certain rights that non-citizens weren't afforded. For instance, non-Roman citizens could not legally marry and have those same privileges as Roman citizens could. Non-Roman citizens could not vote. And so there was a big, big, big deal. You couldn't own property. All kinds of other rights that were afforded Roman citizens. So I want you to put yourself, because many of the people Paul is preaching to the Philippian church, which is a province in Asia, Rome is hundreds of miles away, and their empire is expanded throughout the known world. And many of the regions that they conquered, those people that they conquered, weren't quite yet Roman citizens because they weren't born into Rome. So you had this great divide, and it was a really big deal. And here's what Paul says in the middle of that. He says, "Hey guys, as followers of Jesus, you are citizens of an empire or a kingdom that is above and beyond and supersedes the one that we're all clamoring to be a part of and that we all wish that we had been born into." Okay? So I want you to imagine what that would have done and how that would have been heard by the hearers. To say, to be told, and to understand the truth. That while you might be looking with wanton and desire and wish that you were born as a citizen of a certain kingdom or a certain place on the earth, God in his great goodness and mercy and through the cross of Jesus Christ has made you a citizen of a greater place than the one here on earth. And that's what Paul says. Paul says you have been made citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And not only have you been made citizens, but watch this. He reminds them, and he's reminding us, that not only have you been made citizens of a kingdom that's whose laws and whose power supersedes even the ones of the greatest empire and kingdom that we might know on earth today or back then. He says, not only have you been made citizens of that kingdom, he says, but the king of that kingdom paid the price for you to become a citizen of that kingdom. You didn't have to do anything to earn it. You didn't have to be a certain way. You didn't have to pay a certain price. You didn't have to serve in the military. You didn't have to do a bunch of things or take a bunch of tests or jump through a bunch of hoops. But the king of that kingdom gave his own life to make you a citizen of his kingdom. That is a leader and a king like no other the world can ever understand or see, or ever will be again. Jesus, what he's saying, and what we need to understand, is that Jesus paid the price to grant you citizenship in heaven with every spiritual right that affords. Just like as a citizen of this nation, we have certain rights. Just like as a citizen in first century Rome, you had certain rights. Listen, as a citizen of heaven, family, son, daughter of God, listen to me. We have spiritual rights in heaven that we need to exercise through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You have rights in heaven. You have a right. Let me tell you something. You have a right to be healed, mind, body, and soul as a citizen of heaven. Amen, somebody? Don't ever believe a lie or let anyone tell you that you're not good enough, spiritual enough, and have not earned it enough for you to be healed, body, physically, mind, soul, spirit. No, friend, Jesus Christ paid the price and to make you a citizen of heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, you have a right to everything heaven has. And Jesus says, you have a right to that. Listen, not only in heaven, but in this life that we have today. Amen. You have a right to a good, healthy, godly marriage. Amen, somebody? Because that's what God's will is for you and me. Come on. You have a right to be free from sin and addiction. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. These are spiritual rights that you and I have as citizens of heaven that Jesus paid the price for you and I to operate in and have in our life. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, you got some rights. But to exercise those rights, to see those rights, what Paul is warning here in verse 19, he's making a distinction between people of the world and citizens of heaven. And he describes what the other side, if we want to, I don't want to look at it as a not sides like contentious, but just people that are living for the world and people that are not, that are citizens of heaven. He says they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And here's what they is. They think only about life on this earth. And then he says, but instead, you and I are citizens of heaven. And we have a king named Jesus. Okay? For me to see those rights, for me to operate as a citizen of heaven here on earth, I'm going to have to get unwrapped in the things of earth. Amen? I cannot operate as a citizen of heaven when my mind and my life is so focused on the things on earth. Amen, somebody? And listen, I do not mean to say this. I want to say this carefully because I do not want to sound, it is not that it is not important. It is not that it doesn't matter. And it is not that it should not be something that we as Christians are involved in, are informed in, and are using are prayerfully being involved in the process of, but in spite of how important it may be to this life on earth, listen to me close. All political processes, all governments, all nations that are formed by boundaries that we draw on maps, listen, that is all life on earth. Red, blue, green, libertarian, independent, Republican, Democrat, whatever else there is. Listen, that's all life on earth. And it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just that it shouldn't matter as much as my citizenship of the kingdom. I shouldn't let life on earth somehow knock me out or make me forget that I'm actually a citizen of a kingdom not of this earth. And I just want to say this with all of the shepherd's heart and pastoral grace that I can possibly muster. Listen to me close. Family of God, listen to this close. If you're watching online, do not miss this. And I'm not just talking to this church. I believe the church as a whole needs to grasp this. Listen, we as the family of God and as citizens of heaven, we have got to get unwrapped in life on earth politics and get instead wrapped up in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen, somebody. American citizens at the same time. You need to understand this. A couple things. This part, I might make some of you mad. A couple things we got to understand.
Check, check, check. We good? All right, how long were we not on the mic for? Because I'm going to have to go back and redo all that. About 15 minutes? Let's go back to the beginning. I'm playing. I'm going to go and take this off so I don't fidget with it. Justin, take this for me, will you? Take this too. Thanks. Just set it right there next to you. Where was I? Oh, yes. Making everybody mad. See, I don't know exactly when it happened. I'd have to go back and really dig into the history. But somewhere along the way, I think because we wrote under God in the Pledge of Allegiance and the Constitution has some spiritual biblical principles in it, maybe because this nation was founded by mostly Christians first fleeing and looking for a place to worship on there, somewhere along the line, I think American Christianity got somehow caught up in an idea that the United States was like the second coming of the kingdom of God. And we took all the principles and promises that God promised to the nation of Israel, and we just kind of pasted an American flag and an eagle on top of a lot of them. And we're walking around with this idea that somehow if something happens in the United States, the kingdom is going to suffer. And I got news for you. The United States is not the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is beyond any man-made political structure that has ever been invented and ever will be invented until God comes and Jesus comes back and sets up his government on earth, which the word of God promises to be. But until then, there is no nation on the planet that is the kingdom of God. Amen? And if I am wrapped up and if I am so bent on this idea that for the kingdom to be strong, the United States must be strong, friend, you are going to miss it. Come on, somebody. In fact, I would actually argue with you that almost every place on the planet where you see a persecuted church and where you see a hostile government to the gospel and to the move of God and to the preaching of the gospel, guess what? You know what you'll find? You will find a strong, vibrant, revival-filled place of the kingdom of God in those places. Amen, somebody? So we've got to unwrap from the idea and understand that the United States is not the kingdom. Okay? Second thing we got to understand, listen to me close. This is going to make you even more mad if you're already getting close. Listen to me. Okay? Listen. Patriotism is not Christianity. I can't tell you how many times I've heard some version of this. Well, you know, I'm just a God-fearing man, God, family, country. That's what I believe in. You know what I mean? And if Jesus is at the top of that, I get it, and that's fine. You're following Jesus. But there's also a line of thinking through that line of thinking that many people sometimes believe and have a wrong belief or a wrong idea that because you are an American citizen and because we say under God in our Pledge of Allegiance, that somehow that means that by default you have believed and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, I want to say this. Patriotism is not bad. Patriotism is good, but following Jesus is better. Amen? Patriotism is fine. We should be patriots. We should be proud citizens of the nation that we were blessed enough to be a part of. But listen, just because I am a patriot and I wave an American flag and I have a Trump sticker or a Biden sticker or whatever on my car and a flag on my house does not mean I am surrendered to Jesus Christ. Okay? Patriotism is good. Following Jesus is better. And there may be, and listen, here's the thing. Following Jesus always comes before my patriotism, not the other way around. And I don't say things like this very often, but a few months ago, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me in my prayer time. And I'm just going to say exactly what I wrote in my prayer journal because I feel like some people need to hear this message. Listen, what I really feel like the Lord dropped in my heart, listen, when I say the Lord spoke to me, it wasn't like an audible voice. I don't get weird, but just in my heart, in my heart, in my mind, as I was praying and reading the word, this is what I felt an impression in my heart is this, that there are many believers who have their faith tied to their patriotism, and that's going to be severely shaken as our culture and our country shifts away from biblical values, and you're going to have to decide whether or not you are following Jesus as a patriot or whether you are following Jesus because he's the king of your life. And if my faith was somehow tied to my patriotism, if my faith was somehow tied to my Americanism, if my faith was somehow tied because I live in the red, white, and blue and all that, listen, well, as our nation, as the nation shifts away from that, you're going to be challenged to think that somehow God is losing and the kingdom is being shaken. But the reality, friend, is that you have a king and a kingdom who cannot be shaken, regardless of the shakings taking place in the political structures that men have decided and instituted and created in the world that we live in. Amen? No political party is God's party. Let me say that one more time. No political party is God's party. Amen? Any political party that suggests otherwise, listen, see through the smoke, friend, they're doing that to get votes. So the Republicans are not God's party. Democrats are not God's party. Kanye is not God's party. Now, God may put one or the other in power in situations, but listen, that's because God is in control, but none of them have the market cornered on which is God's party or which is not. Amen? And we got to be real, real, real careful. When we start making real big, bold statements about, well, God is for this party or God is for this candidate and God is not for that candidate, well, what happens if the one that you said God was for lost? Are you telling me that God's guy got defeated? No. That was just a guy. And no matter what guy sits in what chair, in what office, God will direct and order his plan to take place. And it may not be comfortable. Oh, it may not be comfortable to be a Christian anymore in America. And we may feel like some of our rights are being taken away and some of our liberties are being taken away. I got news for you. If you were only following Jesus and preaching the gospel and worshiping because some piece of paper somewhere says you had permission to, then you missed it a long time ago. I don't need permission to exercise my faith. I don't need permission to follow Jesus. I don't need permission to get into a house of worship. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do that anyway. If I go to jail, I go to jail. If I get a ticket, I get a ticket. But I'm a citizen of the kingdom, and I'm going to go down being a citizen of the kingdom. I don't care what color or what person is in what chair, in what office, anywhere in the world. I'm a citizen of heaven. So no political party is God's party. Patriotism is not the same as Christianity. The United States is not the kingdom. My citizenship, my loyalty, my heart, my energy belong to the King, and my faith is in Jesus. Let me just say a couple things real quick. If the church prayed for revival in souls as much and as hard as some of us have prayed for President Trump to be reelected, friend, we'd be in the middle of the third great awakening right now in this nation. Don't get it twisted. Come on, somebody. Some believers. And I'm not here to point fingers at you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm just saying, if we've prayed more for a man, and I don't care if it's, I would be saying this, it has nothing to do with who the person is. I'd be telling you this no matter what. Okay? You follow me? But some believers who I think are probably a little just confused about where their citizenship is have prayed more for a man to get elected into an office than they have for their neighbor who's dying and going to hell to get saved over the last few months. And that's a problem. Amen, somebody? We're citizens of the kingdom. And our job and our mission, our marching orders, are to make other citizens of the kingdom. It's quiet in this Episcopalian church this morning. Let me say this as well, and then I'm gonna be just about done. Brother and sister, family, if your faith is teetering and is shaken right now because a bunch of men voted for another man to preside over a government that a bunch of other men set up, then your faith was in the wrong thing to begin with. Because if my faith is in an unshakable king, and I recognize that I am part of an unshakable kingdom, then it doesn't matter what group of men voted this man to sit and preside over a government that a bunch of other men set up. That's fine. That do that. But I'm not shaken. Come on, somebody. Because I'm a citizen of the kingdom. Amen? Now, I can hear right now. I said this last week. I'm going to say this again. Listen. Well, listen, you understand. Hey, you just understand, Pastor, because if we don't elect the right people into office, if we don't have the right favorable people into the office, and they're going to take our rights away, they're going to take our liberties away, and man, the church is really going to suffer. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. I said this last week. I think I need to say it again, too. Listen, the outcome of an election has no bearing on the power of the gospel. Christ's church will be just fine. Love you. We do not get our marching orders, and we do not get our rights, and we do not get our permissions, and we do not get anything because of who is sitting in a White House in Washington, D.C. We have our rights. We have the power of God, and the gospel is what it is because this word says what it is, and that's where I get my marching orders from as a citizen of the kingdom. Amen, somebody? So, maybe your guy looks like he's going to win. You're excited and you're joyous. Or maybe you're just joyous that the guy you couldn't stand is looking like he's on his way out. Maybe you're upset that the guy you loved is going out. You're nervous about the guy going in. Wherever you fall on that, listen to me. Don't miss this. Paul says, we are citizens of heaven, verse 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Don't forget who your Savior is. It was never Donald Trump, and it's not Joe Biden. And it's not Kamala. I don't know how you say it. It's not Kamala Harris, Sister Harris. I don't know. Sorry, I'm struggling with that. Okay? It wasn't Mike Pence. It wasn't Joe Jorgensen. It wasn't any of the other people. Jesus is the Savior. Okay? And we as people, this has happened since time began. We have always looked to our leaders, and we've elevated them to positions of power and elevated them and put them in seats of saviors for our lives. We think, well, if this guy gets elected, everything's going to be okay. No, if this guy gets out of office and this guy goes in, everything's going to be okay. None of those guys are the Savior. Jesus is. This happened all the way back to Rome, again, back to Roman citizenship. When Julius Caesar took up power and consolidated power in the Roman Republic, one of his titles was Julius Caesar, the universal savior of the world. That's how when he would walk into a room and he'd have all these titles, you know, the prefect, the protector of Rome, one of those titles that they would declare was Julius Caesar, the universal Savior of the world, and then every Caesar after him became known as that title as well. Okay? Listen, Julius Caesar wasn't the Savior of the world. Joe Biden isn't the Savior of the world. Donald Trump isn't the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And because Jesus is our Savior, we can be at peace and we can have faith. We can be blessed and we can do everything God has called us to do and everything God has called us to be because He is the one we're looking to. Amen? So don't forget who your Savior is. It's not who did and did not get elected. It's Jesus. Amen? And no matter whatever happens in the political structures that we are living in, no matter how shaky that feels, no matter how much things change, no matter how much things may shift away from what we're used to or what we may enjoy or what we may like or what we may think it should be or what our ideals and opinions are, no matter what that, we are citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Put your faith there. Put your energy there. Put your heart there. Do that mission. Amen? And we won't have to be worried about what happens there. We won't have to be divided in here over you voted this way, I voted that. No. But you can vote your way and I vote my way and that's fine. But at the end of the day, we're citizens of the King. And that's more important than anything else. Amen? It's interesting that Paul writes this thing about citizens. I don't have time to read you the whole chapter. But I told you earlier, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was also a Pharisee, a Jew. I was explaining to somebody a long time ago, I was preaching about what a Pharisee meant. A Pharisee was just a very strict, very religious Jewish person. Kept all the rules, dotted all the T's, crossed all the I's. Coincidentally, that was also the group that crucified Jesus, but, you know, you can't win them all. Can't always get it right. I was explaining, and a few hours later, it was on a Sunday, somebody texted me, they said, so Pharisees were kind of like super Jews, huh? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's a way to put it. Paul was a super Jew. Paul was a Roman citizen, had it all going for him, won all, he won all the jackpots, religious and geography, got it all together. And when Paul's writing and reminding the people of the Philippian church, just as he's writing to us today, he's writing in Philippians 3. And what he says about 12 verses earlier here, he says all the stuff that I thought was so important, he says it's all worthless. It's all rubbish. It's all garbage in the face of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. So Paul is reminding us, listen, that literally everything that we hold so tightly to, everything that we hold so dear, everything that we can think is so valuable and so we can spend so much of our life on and so much of our energy on and so many things that get us upset and so many things that cause us to be divided and so many things that cause us to get in fight and so many things that cause us to type real angrily on our keyboards on Facebook at people and tell them how stupid we think they are and all of those things, Paul's saying all of it is worthless in light of knowing Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. It's not that those things are bad. This is not me beating us up or saying, hey, you know, feel bad about being an American. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not that it's bad. It's just that Jesus is so much better. It's not that being an American citizen is bad. It's great. It's the best. I couldn't imagine wanting to be a citizen anywhere else in the world. Amen? Can you imagine being Canadian? Ugh. Hockey and French, for God's sakes? Are you crazy? It's not that it's bad. It's just that Jesus is so much better. Jesus is so much better that even something good and great and glorious actually is worthless when compared to the greatness and the glory of knowing Jesus. And that's how we should feel. Yes, this stuff is important. Yes, we have our opinions. Yes, all of that. But at the end of the day, it's all trash and it's all going in the garbage heap anyway. And Jesus is going to remake it all. So why get so upset about the things happening here on earth when I have been made a citizen of a place that is so much better? Stand all over his place this morning. Jesus wants you to become a citizen of heaven today if you're not already. If you're in this place today and you're like, man, I don't even know. Am I a citizen? Let me tell you something. You're a citizen of the kingdom if you've surrendered to the king and if you've given your life to the king. And that king's name is Jesus. And Jesus, if you don't know him already in this place this morning, if you're watching online today, if you don't know him right now, wherever you are, he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know that he is the king and he's got it all taken care of and that you are a part of an unshakable kingdom. He wants you to have that peace. He wants you to know him today. And you can know him today. It's real simple. You can know him today. And how you can do that? How do I know this king? How do I become a citizen of that kingdom? It's real simple. I surrender my life to the king. I do that but it's by accepting the sacrifice that we talked about a little earlier that Jesus paid on the cross 2,000 years ago. You know why he did that? He did that because he loves you. He didn't give his life up on a cross. He didn't allow nails to be pushed through his hands and his feet. He didn't allow a whip to come across his back 39 times, the Bible says. He didn't endure the beating and the suffering and the shame. He didn't do that because he's sitting in judgment of you. He didn't do that because he's upset with you and he's mad at you. He didn't do that because he's holding over you all of the mistakes of your past and all of the things that you've ever done. Listen, he did that because he loves you. In fact, the Bible says that a greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You only lay down your life for a friend. So if Jesus has laid down his life for you and me, that means at least as far as he's concerned, I'm his friend. I'm his friend on his side. Whether or not my lifestyle is telling me from my end that he is my friend. But today you can make all that correct. Right now in this moment, you have an opportunity to say, you know, we'll say, how would I do that? It's real simple. Romans chapter 10, Paul's writing again. He says, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and did everything he said he did. You believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and so shall you be saved. That is the starting point. You can discover that starting point right now. In fact, would you just bow your heads with me? Everyone in this place, bow your heads, close your eyes. Just, there's no trickery here. It's just as a way to focus and just take a moment to make this time and this moment we have together personal. Because listen, it doesn't matter your friend sitting next to you, your husband, wife, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, they can't make this decision for you. They can't surrender your life to Jesus for you. You have to do that individually on your own. You have to come to that place where you say, yes, I'm ready to know Jesus. That's the only reason we say, just close your eyes for a moment. Just make this a moment of personal time with you and God. And if you're in this place today, man, and you've never prayed that, you've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, maybe you have a long time ago, maybe you have even recently, but man, it hasn't done it. You haven't lived for him. You know you're not serving him. You know you're not surrendered. Maybe you said a prayer. Man, you didn't really surrender your heart, but right now the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart again. Right now, you're feeling butterflies. Right now, you feel like, you're feeling like this is for you. That's God talking to you, saying, yes, this moment's for you. But no matter where in that spectrum you are, whether you've never surrendered your life to Jesus before, or whether you have and have done your own thing and gone your own way, and the Lord is saying, come back to me right now. Wherever you are, listen, right now is your moment.
Right now's your time. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. But if that's where you are this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to simply raise your hand. We raise our hand just as a way to say yes, just as a way to publicly acknowledge and say, yes, I'm making that decision today. And this is what I can tell you from the years of experience that I have in my own life following Jesus and the years that God has allowed me to stand in this place and do what God has called me to do and see people come to Jesus, is that when I acknowledge publicly what God is doing inwardly, it just brings heaven and earth together, man. It cements the moment. Cements the moment. I don't have time to go through all the scripture, but there is a spiritual principle of me responding when God moves in my heart. And the response that we're going to ask of you today, if that's where you are, is just to simply raise your hand and say, yes. Yes, I want to become a follower of Jesus. Yes, I want to surrender my life to the King. Yes, I want to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If that's where you are this morning, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you right now, raise your hand all over this place right now. Yes, I want to become a citizen of the kingdom right now. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up this morning. Amen. Amen. You can put them back down. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray, everyone in this room. If you're watching online and you raise your hand, just drop in the comments right there. Say, man, I'm praying this prayer. And then go right to redlifechurch.com. Click on the New Here tab. We'll connect with you. Let us know you prayed that prayer this morning. Everyone in this room, pray with me out loud. Everyone watching at home, pray out loud right now so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me of every time that I've done wrong. I give all of it to you, my past, my present, and my future, in Jesus' name. Thank you for saving me right now. Help me to follow you from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray every person that raised their hand and prayed that prayer and meant it from their heart, Lord, I pray that an overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit of God will come upon them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let them know that this was not just a fluke. Let them know that this moment has been real. Let them know that you have heard their prayer. Let them know that you are making them right now sons and daughters of God and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, in Jesus' name. I pray you speak to them right now. Breathe life to them right now. Make yourself known to them right now, in Jesus' precious name. In just a moment, there are going to be people right under each one of these screens that would love to pray with you. If you raised your hand and prayed that prayer, man, come let us pray with you. If you have any questions, we're here for you, man. If you have a prayer need in any other area of your life, the Lord's speaking to you or dealing with you about something, we're here to pray, and we want to make that known. If you're online, you go to redlifechurch.com. At the bottom of the page, it says Red Life Cares. You can make your prayer request known right there, and we will be praying with you and for you. Everybody stretch your hands this way. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we would walk in the kingdom authority as kingdom citizens that you called us to walk in Jesus' name. I pray that we will be unrighteous.